But for this Sunday, here we are this morning, the Sunday after Christmas, and we learn that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea during the time of Herod the king, we are going to learn about certain visitors who came. And there's a little theme here, looking back at some notes I made in 2007. There's a little outline here that's going to be helpful to me, and I trust to you as well. We had some surprising visitors that particular occasion and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shepherds, we can understand that. They were Jewish shepherds on the hillside outside Bethlehem. And there are those you might expect to be in a church service. I don't know if you would expect to be here this morning. There's a real sense in which we're all surprising visitors. Left to ourselves, we would never think of worshipping the living God. We might be religious. Religion is not surprising. Since man was made by God, and since we were made to know God, religion is inevitable. Sin has cut us off from God, and the knowledge of God, and the true knowledge of God. But the fact that he's there is obvious. The heavens declare the glory of God. Our conscience tells us there is a God and a judgment to come. The circumstances around about us show us that God is benevolent and kind. Religion is understandable. We're made to know him. We seek him. We want to try and reach him. And the ethic of every religion is basically try your best and hope for the best. So it's not surprising there is religion in the world. But what is surprising is that there is reality. It's actually possible to encounter him. There were shepherds who came. Maybe that's not too surprising. But what's surprising is this particular incident here. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Wise men from the east. East from where they'd arrived in Jerusalem. We have the lands of Iran, Iraq, Babylon, we mentioned already this morning, and Persia. The ladies often here on a Sunday from Persia, modern day Iran, and these wise men, Magi, came from one of those regions, either ancient Babylon or the ancient land of Persia. They've come a long way. They have an interesting title. Wise men is one translation. Magi is another, from which we get the English word magic. They were men who were not magicians as such, or enchanters, but studied science and the stars. Magi, wise men. They come a long way. Maybe 500 miles if it's Babylon. Maybe 1,000 miles if it's Persia. And they've travelled all the way to Jerusalem with this great question burning on their hearts. Surprising visitors. Here's the truth. God has got his people and will draw them from unexpected places. So I ask again this morning, would you expect it to have been here? You think about any congregation, different backgrounds, different situations, different incidents have happened in our lives, and yet we're all drawn here to this place. The gospel truly is for all people, all times, all places. Look at the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, just there in Matthew chapter 1. Many things we understand there, but then surprising inclusions there. We find people of great wickedness, people who sacrificed their own children to false gods in the fire. They're there in the genealogy. A man like Manasseh is there. And it seems he was converted late in his life, but he did some atrocious things and yet was brought in. Surprising inclusions in this genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Surprising inclusions in the Church of Christ throughout the world. It's a surprise to me to find myself here this morning. He brought me in. He led me. He drew me. We had a baptismal service recently, six people giving their testimonies, how the Lord drew them in and brought us and led us and guided us. Have you been brought in yet? Have you come to see that this babe born in Bethlehem of Judea in the time of Herod the king, this is Christ the King? Surprising visitors, magi who came from the east. Second thought from this passage, simple thought this morning really, a surprising apathy. These wise men arrive in Jerusalem. They expect the whole city to be in a commotion because of this child who has been born. But in Jerusalem, they find this surprising apathy. There's a great ignorance. The religious center of the Jewish faith there, Jerusalem, the temple is there, religious people were there, they knew their scriptures, they were taught from the scriptures. At the birth of this child, Jerusalem is totally indifferent. Those who should have been the first have made no effort to seek out this particular child. Again, there's a great truth here. Left to ourselves, we don't seek. Left to ourselves, religion is fine. Plenty of religion in Jerusalem when this child was born. But no reality. Just a total ignorance and a total apathy and a total indifference to the reality. Plenty of religion, but no reality. John, led by the Spirit, reflecting on this situation. John 1 and verse 10. He was in the world, though the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. Astonishing thing. Here's the Creator. So if he were here this morning, if he took his place in a pew, he wouldn't recognize him. It's what John is saying here. And he brings it right to the Jews here. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. That'd be a terrible thing this morning. And I was saying, if he was sat in the pew, we wouldn't recognize him. But my friends, he is here this morning. Have we recognized him? So let's bring it on. Make it real. He is here this morning. Am I welcoming him? Am I excited? Let's not blame those in Jerusalem. What I'm saying is they're indifferent. They're apathetic. They're going about their religious duties, but they've missed him. What about me? What about you here this morning? Have you missed him? Did you expect to find him here? Or are we here out of some religious duty here this first Sunday after Christmas? Are we missing the point? Do we turn up Sunday by Sunday, Wednesday by Wednesday, just out of religious duty, and there becomes a coldness and a routine and an apathy? Or have we come to do what the wise men came to do? All right, they've gone to the wrong place, but they used the light that they had, and they had a burning desire. Now we have much more light. But where's my desire? So there's a great apathy in Jerusalem, a surprising apathy, a surprising ignorance. Those who should have been first were totally apathetic and indifferent. But religion continued. Now thinking about the society around and about us. There's some sayings, aren't there? Closest to church, furthest from God. Would that apply to this particular chapel here? Closest to church, furthest from God. Well, there are some exceptions because actually the two next door homes, there's the former pastor and the former pastor's family, so they're not furthest from God. But you go a little bit further out, and we're meeting here, and there is surely a joy in our hearts to this great reality, Christ manifest in the flesh. You understand why he came and what he's done. So there's a real joy and excitement, but is it affecting the society around and about us? These folks in the course and up and down the road and around Willowbrook School. Well, now it doesn't seem to be. It doesn't seem to be. Maybe you have Christian parents. Does that guarantee you're going to be converted? Certainly not. Christianity is not inherited. Children can remain completely indifferent towards the things of God. They can be warm to religion, but what about the reality? Maybe you have many Christian friends. That doesn't benefit you necessarily. Christianity is not an infectious thing that you catch just by being around those who already have the truth and reality. Britain is full of Bibles. The Bible is still the greatest selling book in Britain. When you have the best selling lists, they obviously leave off the Bible, or else it would be pretty boring for them. Bible, Bible, Bible. Paperbacks, hardbacks, Bible, Bible, Bible. Sadly, there'd be the fiction section as well. As well as the factual and the biographical sections. Many churches, still every major city and most major towns, every major town has got a Bible-believing evangelical witness, and yet there's a deep ignorance. You know, a survey was done just this year as to how many people know the Christmas story. It's good to see down in the King Cardiff City Centre. It's happened again this year at the church in the Hayes there. They have the Christmas story. There's the donkey, a real live donkey outside, and people dressed up and they portray the Christmas story because they're aware of this great and shocking truth. Only 12% of people in Britain have got any detailed knowledge of the Christmas story. Quite a number knew about the angels and the shepherds and the wise men, but drilling down the details, a list of questions, only 12% could get them right. And here's something more disturbing. The most ignorant were children and teenagers, because they're not being taught these things in school anymore. The most ignorant part of Britain is Scotland. The most knowledgeable part of Britain was Birmingham and the Midlands. Interesting. Second came Wales. But there's a deep ignorance of these great truths. When it comes to Christmas carols, do you have carol singers around your house this year? That's a dying tradition, perhaps. Maybe we need to be, in some sense, thankful about that. Because when they do come around, what carols do they sing? Well, they don't, do they? We wish you a Merry Christmas. That's about all you will get. They might know, and this is what this survey found out, they might know the first line. Hark the herald angels sing. Then it's... They just don't know. It's gone. This knowledge has disappeared. Surprising apathy. There's nothing new about this. It's as old as the Bible itself. This great apathy and this great ignorance. Plenty of religion, but little knowledge of the truth. Let's think about these wise men again then. A surprising persistence. Their journey has been a long one and a hard one. You think about the journey from Iraq or Iran into Israel, say up to 1,000 miles, and you can sing the carol, We Three Kings, moor and mountain, field and fountain. They had to go over mountain passes and through deserts and rough terrain, and where they were booking to travel lodges, I just don't know. It was a hard journey. It was a dangerous journey. Many bandits on the road as well. But they are not put off. They make it all the way to Jerusalem, and they have a question. Where is he? Where is he? Are we asking the question this morning? Again, put it to myself, put it to you. We've come, we have the trappings, here we are. We'd expect, if you come in this morning, we expect this is the place where I'll find things. Have we got that question in our hearts? Where is he? And I love the reason why they're asking this question. We have come to worship him. Why am I here again this morning? Have I really come to seek him? And finding him, have I come to worship him? What has drawn them? Well, they say, we saw his star in the east. Where is he who's been born? King of the Jews. We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. What began their seeking? It's interesting. You think about your own story. What started your true seeking of reality? Not religion now. Maybe you're brought up with these things. You're going to church regularly, then a period where you fell away for a while, then you were drawn back because you quite liked religion. But what started your seeking of the reality of him? Something often happens. Maybe it's an illness that comes. Maybe it's some circumstances. We lose something or somebody or a job. Or maybe a happening or an occurrence. I remember in London when I was working there, we had 5 years living in Walthamstow and Leighton. I'm very nostalgic about that period. I quite enjoyed it. Quite exciting. The centre of things and the tube. Jill was really glad to get out. She felt she'd served a 5-year sentence and was being released. We went to a lovely little evangelical church, Boundary Road Evangelical Church in Leighton. And membership of about 25, maybe 50 in the congregation on a Sunday morning. But a lady came in one morning and it was nice to see. A surprising visitor came from the north, actually, north of the chapel. She came in and we asked her what had brought her there. She said, "Oh, well, I live in the flats across the road, just a big tower block, and her son had got a little snooker table for Christmas, and they were setting out the balls on the snooker table. They put all the red ones in the triangle, they got that right. The black, they knew where that went, the pink, and the blue, they knew was on the middle. But how do you order those at the top, the green, the brown, and the yellow?" And the boy said, "Oh, I know, Mum. It's green, brown, yellow. It's God bless you." That was it. Now to think, you know, Almighty God ordering that she buy her son a little snooker table for Christmas, only a little one, get it up to the 13th floor of the flats. Wasn't an easy thing. And to do that she might hear that from her son, that then she might come down through the lift and across to the chapel, because God bless you made her think, a spark, something. There's a girl who often comes here now, a young lady, and she started coming because lightning hit the church last January. And from that lightning strike on the church, the amazing circumstance, remember, everything was knocked out apart from the lights and the amplifier in the main chapel. We carried on, and when we went out the back, there was no lights on, and we couldn't get the hot water going, but the Lord kept the service going here, and this lady started coming because of that lightning strike. Now, how about you? What began your seeking? For these wise men, God spoke to them where they were, 1,000 miles away. I wouldn't say there was total ignorance of the gospel, because in the Babylon library would have been the book of Daniel, for example, and other scriptures that the Lord had seen and were written and produced there in Babylon and came to be part of the Jewish scriptures. Certainly, there wouldn't have been total ignorance, but they didn't know very much. But God spoke to them in a way they understood. We've seen his star. And Numbers speaks about the star, the day star rising, when this ruler will be born. And God speaks through that, and they begin to seek, and they're drawn irresistibly all the way to, well, where would you go if a king was born in Britain? You go to London. A king's been born in Israel, they went to Jerusalem. Understandable, but wrong. Where is he? I love that little phrase as well. Where is he? Where is he? This is a relationship that we come into. Let's never forget that. It's not religion, it's a relationship. Where is he? Let's not stop asking that particular question. Where is he? Jerusalem's the wrong place, and God allows his own word now to be used. We looked at this on Christmas morning, Micah 5, verses 1 to 5. Herod, we'll think more about him this afternoon. Let's not dwell on Herod in this particular section here. Herod. He's the king of the Jews. Here comes this question. These wise men, finely dressed, all their gifts wrapped up. Where's the one who's been born king of the Jews? We learn Herod's disturbed, and if he's disturbed, all Jerusalem certainly is. We'll see this afternoon why. And they see why that was. But why didn't Herod know these scriptures? Well, he's not a Jew. He's an Edomite, and he's become king of the Jews. Anyway, he calls together the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, and he puts the question to him. What's the answer to this question? And of course it's Bethlehem. Bethlehem. And they make their way to Bethlehem. Many obstacles for their journey, but they make sure that they get to where they ought to be. They've gone to the wrong place, they're not put off. They don't end up in Jerusalem and think, well, we tried our best, well, he's not here, we'll go home. Where is he? If you're not yet converted, don't give up. There are many obstacles. Of course there are obstacles. There are friends who will put you off, and the family who will put you off, and circumstances, and suddenly you have to work on a Sunday. And that's a common trend today, but you can still, you don't let anything put you off. Make sure that you find him. And then, of course, it's the word of God that comes in very powerfully. It's no good just God bless you and a lightning strike. Come to the word of God. Here it is, that we might find him. It's all about him. But don't stay with the book. We seek him through his word and the power of the Spirit, the reality. Never be put off. Persist. Press on. Now we come to a surprising joy. It's a lovely book by C.S. Lewis with that title, Surprised by Joy. The most reluctant believer in the whole of England, he called himself, C.S. Lewis. He had been an atheist, but in thinking these things through, in reading the scriptures and the power of the Spirit, then he came to see these things were true and found this surprising joy. And being sent off to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, verse 9, after they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. They didn't stop till they found him. How long do we seek the Lord for? Well, the answer is, of course, until we find him. Now, for some, the shepherds, let's go to Bethlehem. Then he ran down the hill. And wasn't long, they were there. And they found him. Now, for the wise men, goodness me, they had to go a long way. Glad that wasn't locked. But they went a long way. Great distance. Mountains. Deserts. I've been out the back. Let's go into the porch. See who's out here. Am I still on? I don't know. How long do we go on for? Wait. Have you found him yet? Where is he? Not under the pew? Where is he? He's been born King of the Jews. Something's happened. I feel I'm being drawn. Can you tell me? Where is he? Where is he? Oh, it's in Bethlehem. It's in Bethlehem. And so they carry on. Now they're getting closer. The shepherd didn't take them long at all. They hear some testimonies. I'm getting old. And boy, we went for a while, and that didn't seem to work. And then I was away, a desert period, and then all the tough time of my life up that mountain. But you know, something kept drawing me. Never give up. We can't. Once the Lord has laid hold on us, we're drawn. This is the term, irresistible grace. Irresistible. Once he has a hold on us. And here's the glorious thing. It's his hold on me. His grace then becomes irresistible. Religion is resistible. I can turn it on and off. I go for a while. I don't go for a while. I go twice a year or three times a year. Christmas and Easter and harvest times. But the real thing. Now when they find him. Now here are these wise men, magi, wealthy men, respected men. But there's something missing in their lives. That's common to us all, rich or poor, healthy or unhealthy. of esteem, great esteem or low esteem. There's something missing in our lives. And it's Him. Where is He? And once we find Him, there's a joy and a contentment and a peace that nothing else can touch. This surprising joy. The joy of finding Him. I know I've said this before, it's worth saying again, the Beatle George Harrison, he went from the West to the East trying to find reality. He found transcendental meditation and Eastern mysticism, and he came back then to Britain. Before he died, he said this to his family who were gathered around his bed: "The most important thing of all is the search for God." Well, we have to differ. Search for God is vital, but the most important thing is not the search, it is the finding. That's the most important thing, the finding of God. The search can be very frustrating. Did you enjoy it when you lost your purse? Did you enjoy it when you lost your wallet? Oh, here's the joy of searching for my wallet. I mean, my son recently, so every other day, "Where's my glasses?" And we have a 3-day period. It's interesting. Those of you who don't believe in Father Christmas, we'll be in the book. Hello, children. Now, 3 days before Christmas, William lost his glasses. And you need to perceive distance, don't you? Yeah. So, without your glasses, I'm a blur. But with your glasses on now, you can see me in all my handsome features. Yes, okay. So, for 3 days, searching around the house, and think, all right, we've got to go back to Specsavers and get some more glasses. They're not cheap, and so that's an aspect, but he couldn't see properly. And so then, Christmas morning, I came downstairs, and on the worktop were a pair of glasses. Well, I know who left them there. I believe. I know. It's the guy in the red suit. And he had found them. And put, that's my understanding of these things. So, but there was no joy in the searching. But when William came down that Christmas morning, here's his, "Oh, my glasses, it's the finding that is the key. The finding and the search for God. Oh, it's necessary, but the joy comes in the finding." We do a conclusion now this morning. Surprising faith from these wise men. They worship Him. They come to the place where He is. They worship Him. But my friends, what did they see? What caused their worship? What did they see? Well, they saw. Depends on how long after this was. Of course, some say it's a little while. I don't believe it was. I believe that this was quite soon after the very birth itself. Maybe the shepherds are still there. Maybe they're making their way out, but the animals are there, the straw is there. They see a cattle feeding trough, and they see a little human baby in a manger, and they worship Him. That's what they see, and the smell and the sight. And but what do they see, though? What do they perceive? Here they see the creator of the universe. That's what they actually see. With the eye of faith, they understand this is no ordinary baby. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds God and angels sing. Haste to bring Him praise, the child, the son of Mary. That's what they see. Christ the King. What can do that? Only the eye of faith inspired by the Holy Spirit. Don't rest until you see. You really see. What do you see here this morning? Well, I see a building, and I see pews, and I see a preacher, and I see people, and I see an organ, and I see flowers. But do you see Him? This is Christ the King. What do you see? Do you understand the gospel? Come on this course, Christianity Explained, Explored. Done it before, do it again. Pursue Him. Make sure that you find Him. Finally, surprising gifts. Gold for a king. Frankincense was an incense used in worship. So it is for a god. Myrrh, a most surprising gift. It was an embalming fluid used in preserving bodies. Gold for kings, King Jesus. Frankincense, this is our God. Myrrh, he came to die. Did you see this? Did you perceive this? Do you understand? He doesn't stay a child, he becomes a boy, a teenager, a man. He's born to die. Born to die for our sins. If I'm to know God, I need a clean life, and I haven't got one. So he lives one for me as a man. He's the God-man. He lives that perfect life for me. Then he dies the death that I deserve. Man has sinned, man must die. On the cross, man dies. He's dying for me. Because he's a man, he can do that. Because he's also a God, there's infinite worth in that death. You see this? It's really quite simple. Once the Spirit pointed out, you're the sinner, he's the Saviour. You can't live that perfect life, he lived it for you. You can die that death, but you never escape it. So he died it for you. And he rose again from the dead, proving it's all true. He is who he said he is. His death works, is sufficient to cover all our sins. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He ascends back into heaven. He sends the Holy Spirit, who comes to me tonight, listen, and says, hey, my friend, these things are true. Don't seek anymore. You found him. You found him this morning. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a brief time in your word here this morning. We pray that by your Spirit, you will continue to draw people to the Saviour of the world. May we see our need and our need supremely met in Christ. For we who are your people, help us to keep on asking the question and demanding the answer. Where is he? Where is he? We have come to worship him. Amen.